Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kufhei, and we are two lines from the top of daf Kufhei, Amid Aleph, the two dots, Kosav Ois Achas. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchok Eliyo ben Chayasara, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Avram Yikasil ben Gittel, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shar Yoshu ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yom Mordechai ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shlomo Zizkin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Harav Chaim Doiv ben Kreindel, Ya'el bas Bela, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Hadassah, and Chava Serol bas Chana Freida. Today's daf is also being learned Ilu Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloime Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Zizkin ben Meir Ochanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So we're continuing to discuss the Melacha of Koseh, the Mishnah, had said at the very end of Daf Kuf Dalet Amid Beis, last line, Kosav Ois Achas Nutrikin, if somebody would write one letter on Shabbos, but this letter is an abbreviation of a word. So even though it's one letter, but it's Achas Shehishtayim, would he be Chayiv on Shabbos or would he not be Chayiv on Shabbos? The sheer of the Melacha of Koisev on Shabbos is two Oisios. If somebody writes an Ois Achas, he wrote a Chatzi Shir. Whether or not Chatzi Shir is awesome in Atayra on Shabbos is several braid bites. But the question is, if somebody would write an Ois Achas, where the Ois Achas really represents more than one Ois, do you say that we look at it as if he wrote two Oisiois, and it's Aser not because of Chatzi Shir, it's Aser as if he had written two Oisiois, or no, at the end of the day, he only wrote an Ois Achas. Said the Mishnah Tzemach Loikis, Reb Shua ben Meseir said he would be Chayiv, meaning it's considered Chil Shabbos, on the Da'iraisa level, Skila, Karas, and Chatas, V'chachamim, Poitrim, the Chachamim say that he would be Potter. Zok, Digimar, Om, Rabbi Yoichan, Mishum, Rabbi Yoichan, Ben Zimra, Rabbi Yoichan, and said in the name of Rabbi Yoichan, Ben Zimra, Minayin, L'loshen, Nutrikin, Ben Torah. Is there a source in the Torah to the concept of Nutrikin? Meaning, does the Torah ever speak in terms of abbreviation? Does the Torah ever use a word where the word is meant to be interpreted as an acronym, as Roshei Tevois? So the Gemara says, yeah, Shenemar, there are several psukim that bring this point. The first is regarding Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was described as Ki Av Hamoin Goyin Nisaticha. Pasha, that means Avram Avinu was the father of many nations. Says the Gemara, the way you darshan this pasuk is, Av is Roshei Tevois Aleph Beis, not Aleph Bina, but Av Nisaticha Le'umois, you're a father to the nations, and Bachar Nisaticha Le'umois, you're chosen amongst the nations. Hamoin is also Roshei Tevois. The Hey stands for Chaviv Nisaticha Ba'umois. The Hey becomes a Ches. Avram Avinu was beloved by the nations. The Mem is Melech Nisaticha Le'umois. Avram Avinu was a Melech. Vasit, is the Vav is, means that Avram Avinu was Chashuv Ba'umois. And Nemon means he was trustworthy by the Umois. Either way, you see this concept of Nutrikin. Av Hamoin is really an acronym. It's Roshei Tevois, Aleph Beis, Hey Mem, Vav Endron. Rabbi Yochanan today, Rabbi Yochanan said this over in the name of Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. So after he said over what he heard from Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, he said, I'm going to tell you a different source that I have to this concept of Lashon Nutrikin in the Torah. The Pasuk says, Anoichi Hashem Aleikecha, who said this? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These were the opening remarks of Maimed Har Sinai. Says Rabbi Yochanan, the word Anoichi is Nutrikun. Could be read as a Roshei Tevois. Ana, that's the Aleph. Nafshi, Ksivis Yehovas. Who wrote the Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, that's symbolic in the word Anoichi. Anoichi is Rosh HaTevois. Ano Nafshi, Ksivis Yehovas. Rabbanan Amri. Rabbanan had a different acronym for the word Anoichi. Amira Ni'ima, Ksiva Yehiva. Amira Ni'ima. The Torah is very Zis. It's Darchei Noyam, Ksiva Yehiva, and it was written and given over to the Yidden. Ikedar Misam had a different version of it. Anoichi Lemafreya, Yehiva Kesiva Nemona Mamara. Not Aleph Nun Chof Yud, but here you have Nutrikun working backwards. This is a Drush Ben Benoishal Drush. And the way you read it is Yehiva Kesiva The Torah was given, it was written, Nemanim Amorel, and its words are very trustworthy. The bottom line is the word Anoichi is symbolic of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, Anon Nafshi Ksavas Yehovas, and that's why Limud HaTorah transcends just any mitzvah. It certainly transcends any intellectual pursuit. When a person learns Torah, what he's doing is he's literally learning the Dvar Hashem, but even more so, he's being mistabik with the Dvar Hashem. Oyreisa v'Yisrael v'kutcher b'richu chad. It's a matrix. There's this relationship between Klal Yisrael, the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're all one. And the way a person can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by studying Torah. So in addition to all the fringe benefits that you get when you're learning Torah, the primary dveikus that a person can have with Hashem is through Limud HaTorah. Why? Because the Torah is Anoichi. Anon Nafshi Ksivis Yahavis. Who's the author of the Torah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He put his nefesh into the Torah. And when we're learning Torah, we're connecting ourselves to the nefesh of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, more makairis to the idea of Nutrikin in the Torah. Tver, Amnasin Ami, the Yeshiva, Amnasin, they used to say that it's learned out from Bilam. Ki Yorat Haderech Lenegdi. So the Asoin, the donkey, said that the reason I veered off the road, he turns to Bilam. After Bilam hit him and beat him up, he said, I couldn't. I saw a malach coming towards me. But the word that he used was Ki Yorat. Yorat is again a Rosh HaTevis. Yara, he was afraid. Rasa, she saw Natsa, and as a result, she veered off the road. Veer of Ishmael Tana Karma. We learned it from the Karban Omer. The Karban Omer had to be brought from Sa'irim. It had to be brought from barley. And the Torah describes the barley as having to be Karmel. What does that mean? Karmole. It's a whole grain. The point is, it's Karmole. Again, Lashon Nutrikim. Achav Yaakov Amar. We learned it from Dovin HaMelech. Dovin HaMelech told Shlomo that one of the things I want you to do when you become king is I want you to kill Shimi Ben Gera. Why? So he said, because for who? Kilolani Klola Nimretzes. Because he cursed me. He didn't just give me a Klola. It was a Klola Nimretzes. What does that mean? It's a Nutrikim. Again, it's a Rosh HaTevis. Noyefu. Shimi ben Gera accused David HaMelech of being a Noyev. Why would he have thought he was a Noyev? Batsheva. Mayavihu, he came from Rusa Mayavio. Reitzeachu, he accused him of being a Reitzeach. Killed Uriah Hachiti. Tzairehu, he said that he's an enemy and needs to be treated as an enemy. And finally, Toyevahu. And that was the klal of Shimi ben Gera. That's what Nimretzes means. Again, another source of the concept of Nutrigam. Nachar Mayitzchak Amar, we learned it from the Shvatim. After the Shvatim were caught, quote unquote, stealing the Becher from Yosef, Parshas Miketz. So they said, Manadaber umanitztadok. What should we do? Nitztadok again is in Utrikim. Nechoinim anachnu, tzadikim anachnu, toirim anachnu, dachim anachnu, ktoishim anachnu. We're such holy people. This is not something we would ever, ever do. We were set up. This is not something what we did, regardless. So the Gemara says that there's a concept you find Utrikim in the Torah. What's the Makar? Either from Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechvoide Ve'atzmai, Onoichi, is Anon Nafshik Sobas. Maybe it's learned out from Bilam's donkey. Maybe it's learned out from the barley that was used for the Karban Omer. Shimi ben Gera cursed David HaMelech with a klola nimretzes. The Shvatim in Parashas Miketz, manedaber umanedstadok. We're literally going from sea to shining sea, spanning the entire Torah. But the point is, an idea that the Torah sometimes speaks benutrikin. If that's the case, that's the premise behind the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeir in the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeir says that even though the shear of Koisev is two oisias, but if somebody would write even an ois achas, he would be chayv nafachatzi shear. He'd be chayiv in the event that this ois achas is nutrikun. It's an aleph that stands for av. It's a mem that stands for melech. If in the event that it stands for something, it represents a larger word, you'd be chayiv. Chacham disagree. Chacham say yapati. We paskin, of course, like the chachamim. But at the very least, it's the premise to Yushitas Rabbi Yeshua ben Seir. So you find nutrikun sometimes in the Balaturim, in Sfarim HaKdoshim. And the truth is, the Torah sometimes speaks ben nutrikun. It's a whole Gemara. Masechta Shabbos Daf Kofe. One last Mishnah for Perek HaBoina. If somebody writes two oisis on Shabbos, b'shtei halamois, but he did it in two halamois. So what does it mean, two halamois of Perek Klal Gadol fame, of Masechtas Krisus fame? He wrote an ois b'shoigig, he forgot it was Shabbos, or he forgot that he was writing on Shabbos, or he forgot that it's usher to write on Shabbos. Then he remembered, oops, and then he forgot again. So he wrote the shir, he wrote two oisis. That's the amount that a person would have to write b'shoigig in order for him to be chayiv chatas, but in between he remembered. So the question is, being that it was b'tu halamois, do we say that they're not mitzvah of the two oisis, he's not going to be chayv chatos? Or do we say, who cares? At the end of the day, he wrote an ois achas b'shoigig, another ois achas b'shoigig, that he could be mitzvah. Another halacha, achas, shachas, vachas, ben arayt. What if a person wrote two oisis in Shabbos b'shoigig, not in two halomis, it was behelam echa, but he wrote one ois in the morning, one ois in the evening. What's the significance of morning and evening? Rashi says, the havale shos ben tayim kidei leda. There was enough time in between the writing of the two oisis for him to have become aware of what he did. So it was really Behelam Echad. He was never made aware of what he did. But he could have been made aware because there was enough time in between. So what's the halach in both cases? In both cases, Rabbi Gamliel Mechayev, the Chacham and Poitch. But Maiko Miflagi, we've seen this several times. As difficult of a Gemara it is, it's come up again and again and again. And that is Rabbi Gamliel Sabra, Rabbi Gamliel holds Ein Yediyah L'chatzi Shir. For Rabban and Sabri, Yesh Yediyah L'chatzi Shir. Yediyah plays a tremendous role in the world of Shkagos, in the world of Chatos. And in the context of having to bring a carbon chatas, if you would become aware of something that you did wrong, and then you would make the mistake again, you would have to bring a second chatas for the second thing that you did, because the yediyah is always mechalik. The question is, when there's a yediyah after a chatzin shir, you had a yediyah in between doing what you were supposed to. You wrote an oizachas, yediyah, and then you wrote another oizachas. Yesh yediyah l'chatzishir, ein yediyah l'chatzishir. Rabbi Gamliel holds ein yediyah l'chatzishir. So as a result, the fact that you had a yediyah in between writing two oizias is neither here nor there. Rabbanon hold yesh yediyah l'chatzishir. And as a result, akosav beiz oizias, b'shtei halomois, the halach is going to be potter, hadron halach, ha boina. So before we start the next perek Rabbi Eliezer, in fact, the first of two prokim of Masechta Shabbos that are called Perek Rabbi Eliezer. The second one, of course, is Perek Rabbi Eliezer de Milo, one of the most geshmaka prokim in Shas that's coming up in a few weeks. But the first sugya, the first mishnah of Perek Rabbi Eliezer deals with the melachos that relate to weaving. So there were a few melachos in the mishnah of Perek Klal Gadol, the mishnah that discussed the lamites melachos that related to weaving. Now, obviously, if you're not familiar with weaving, so this is going to be a little out there, but we'll try our best to try to make sense of it. So the Mishnah said, after it listed the first grouping of melachos that are all related to baking bread, what the Gemara referred to as Sidura de Pas. So then the Mishnah went on to describe the second grouping. If somebody shears wool, v'amalabna, he whitens the wool. V'amanapsoi, he disentangles them. V'atsoiva, he dyes them. V'atova, he spins it. And now he's going to go ahead and take this wool and he's going to weave it to make a baguette. V'hamesach, v'ha'isa shnei batei nirin. V'oireg shtei chutin. V'hapoitseya shnei chutin. That's all melachos that are also to do on Shabbos, all melachos that relate to weaving. So the first ones were pretty straightforward. Goizeh es hatzemer, the first thing you have to do in order to weave is you have to shear the wool. Malabin, you whiten the wool. Menapetz, you disentangle it if necessary. Tzoiveya, if you want to color it a certain color, so you dye it. Tzoiveya, you have to spin the wool. You can use it for weaving unless it's spun first. And now you have the spun wool, you're ready to weave. So the first thing that was done was v'hamesach. So v'hamesach meant that the shesi threads had to be set up on the weaver's loom. So again, without going into too much detail, but the weaver that weaved had a loom. Think of it as his sewing machine, his little station that he used to do his thing. The basic premise of weaving is you're going to take threads and you're going to crisscross them. So there's going to be what's called the chassis and the erev. There's going to be threads that are going to go vertical, and then there are threads that are going to go horizontal. There are the threads that are going to go along the length of what it is you're doing. Those are the chassis threads. Those are the warp threads. And then there are the threads that are going to go along the width. Those are the erev threads. Those are the weft threads. And the idea is to crisscross them, and then you end up having your woven item. The first thing that was done was all the warp threads had to be set up. So you had two rods on the two sides of the station. You took your warp threads, you stretched them out really, really tight, and you rolled each side along the other side of the rod. And like this, you have all your warp threads set up. The process of setting up the warp threads is what's known as mesach. Mesach is mentioned in the Mishnah as being one of the lamites melachos. The next thing that was done is the weft threads, meaning the ones that are going to go along the width, that are going to crisscross under and over the warp threads, are now going to have to start going under and under. But what the weavers would do, just to streamline and to simplify their process, is they had some sort of contraption that would allow the warp threads to go up when you wanted to go underneath them and go down when you wanted to put threads above them. And the way they would do that is they would use what's called heddles. So just picture some contraption that has little holes in it, where you were able to, you put the warp threads inside those holes. The point is for you to be able to control the threads. So if you want it to go up, and so that you can take threads and go underneath it, you can do that simply. And if you want it to go down, so you can put threads on top of it, you can do that simply as well. The point is, ha'oisesh batei nirin is the process of taking those warp threads and putting it through those heddles. Now, incidentally, notice that in order to be a mesach, assuming you're going to use these heddles, you're going to be ha'oisesh tei batei nirin first. I mean, the ha'oisesh tei batei nirin happens before the Mesach happens. Because what's Mesach? Mesach is taking the warp thread from one rod to the other rod. From when you take it from one rod to the other rod, before you tighten it against the rods, you put it through these heddles. So once you take two threads and you go through, you're already an Oysa Shtei Batinirim, which is true. The Pashtus is, every time you're Mesach, you're also going to be an Oysa Shtei Batinirim. Not just that, even though Mesach is mentioned in the Mishnah before Oysa Shtei Batinirim, but really you're going to be an Oysa Shtei Batinirim before you're going to be Mesach. And then finally, Oyrig. Oyrig is when you take the weft threads and you go move along the width, and if someone's Oyrig Shnei Chutin on Shabbos, he's going to be Chayiv. So for our purposes, that's all we really need to know. Mesach, Oysa Shtei Batinirim, and Oyrig. Mesach is just setting up the warp threads. Shtei Batinirim is putting those warp threads through these heddles. The reason is that you can control it. It's like this. You can just move through the weaving process a little bit quicker. And then the actual weaving is when you take the weft threads and you work along the width of the item that it is that you're weaving. On that note, Rebbe Lezer says, Oyrig Shloisha Chutin Betchilo. If somebody weaves three chutin, meaning you're starting to weave a baguette. This is a baguette that wasn't woven yet. So how many chutin would you have to weave in order to be chayiv? So the halacha is three. What three means is three times across. So you go right to left, then left to right, and right to left. Three times, that would be considered three laps across, would be considered the malacha. If, however, you have a beged that was woven already, so you're not weaving a beged lechatchilo, you're just adding onto a woven beged, then the halacha is all you would have to do is one. This is the same Rebbe Eliezer that said on Daf Kuvdalad Amid Beis in yesterday's Daf, that even though the sheer kosev is two oisias, but if you already have something written and you just add a letter to it, you would be chai. So the sheer lechatchilo is three chutin, but if you're just adding, all it would be is one chva. Chavim say it doesn't matter if you're starting a beginning. Bein betchilo, bein besoif. Chutim, it's always going to be two chutim. If somebody makes shtei batinirim, that was also one of the Lama Tes Malachos, says the Mishnah, it doesn't matter if the shtei batinirim that were made were benirin, the Gemara will explain what that means, or bekirus, the Gemara will explain what that means, or benafa bekivra ubesal. This is interesting. If somebody makes a wicker basket, for example, and the basket crisscrosses, or think of the holder of your lulav, it's made up of wood that crisscrosses, even though it's not a beged, but it's created in the way that a woven beged is created, and that's all included in the malacha of Oireg, and it's even included in the malacha of Oysa Shtei Batei Nirim, assuming you use something that mirrors the Batei Nir. Vatoifer Beis Tviroiz, if somebody stows two stitches, he violates not the malacha of Oireg, but the malacha of Toifer, and finally, Vakurea Manas Litva Beis, if somebody tears a beged, he'll also be Chayiv, but only if he tore it Al-Manas to be Toifer, and he has to do it Al-Manas to be Toifer, two begad, two stitches, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yitzchak, where Rabbi Yitzchak came, he said over in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, the Rabbi Eliezer Shita is that if somebody weaves a beged, what's the shear? How many chutim would he have to weave in order to be chayiv? So what did the Mishnah say? If he's starting to weave a beged for the first time, three chutin. If the beged was already woven, just add one chut, you're already going to be chayiv. Rabbi Yitzchak taught a brisa that said shtayim. No, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's two. If it's a new beged, two. If it's a woven beged, then it's one. So we have a stira. The Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer says three. Rabbi Yitzchak said over in a brisa that it's really two. Frank, you're about non-tanan gimel. The Mishnah said three. Somewhere says like kasha. You have to say one is talking about where the strings that were being woven were thicker. The other one's talking about when they were thinner. Okay, which one's three and which one's two? So there's two ways you could look at it. Like some said one way. If they're bigger, they have to be three. Why? Because if it's three, loy sasri, it's not going to break. But three sasri. But two are not going to hold together. Meaning, if the threads are bigger, you actually need more of them to keep them together. So if it's three, Rebbe Eliezer holds, it's going to hold. If it's three stitches, that's chashuv, it's going to hold, then you're going to be chayv. But if it's only two stitches, you're going to be potter. Ketini, if they're smaller, train amiloy sasri. Even if they're small, we could assume that it's going to hold together, so you'll be chayv. Amiloy lahai gisa, somehow just the opposite. Gisa, If they're small, you need three. Why? Because then it's yidi. Then you notice it. Trei lo yidi. But if it's two, you don't notice it. Alimi. But if they're bigger, trei nami yidi. Even if they're, if you only have two, you would notice it. And it's for that reason the halach is would be chayv according to Rabbi Lezbetu. Either way, Rabbi Eliezer said there's a difference between how many chutin you would have to weave in order to be chayv on Shabbos if it's the beginning of a beged, meaning you're starting to weave a beged, or you're just adding on to a beged that was already woven. In one braisa, Rebbe Eliezer said, two is how much you would have to do if you're starting. One, if you're just adding on. In the Mishnah, Rebbe Eliezer said, three if you're starting, one if you're adding on. How do you reconcile the stira? You say it's talking about two different types of chutin. One is bigger, one is smaller. Which one is which? So, some say this way, and some say that way. Tanya, we learned to the braisa, oh, give a chutin, bitchila. If somebody weaves three chutin, bitchila, echad al arik, or if you already had a woven bag, and then he added only one, chayvi, bi, chayvi, chom, maim, chom, say, maim, chayvi, maim, it doesn't matter if you're starting or if you're completing. Dalach, shirim, base chutin, it's always going to be two. Upesafa, if the beged that you're weaving, or the part of the beged that you're weaving is towards the edge, so then the halach is beis chutin. Chum say it's the same beis chutin, but it's bereichiv, it has to be the width of gimel batei nirin. So whatever the width of three of these heddles are in the batei nirin, that's how wide the area would have to be in order for you to be chayiv. Now this is a little bit of a chiddush, because we're going to see on Amud Beis that really the width of the beged that you need to weave in order to be chayiv has to be wider than that. So why is it that if it's in the edge of the beged, then the halach is two chutin beroichiv gimel batei nirim? Halam azadoyim, as the Braisa explains. I'll give you a mashal, somebody made a small belt. So you would say that even though it's very narrow, still you would be chayiv. Why would you be chayiv? Because the belt is a davar chashiv unto itself. So too over here, the halach is the edge of the beged is considered different. It's chashiv, and people make something smaller there sometimes. So therefore, even if it's small, the halach is you're going to be chayiv. Beis chutin beroiv gimel batinir. Meaning that's what the shear is going to. That's what the shear is for a tzitzel katan, for a small belt. As a result, that's what the shear would be over here as well. So what did the Braisa say? The Braisa began with the words ha'oyre gimel chutin betchila ve'echad ala arik chayiv. Who sheet is that? That's Rebbe Eliezer in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, stomach Rebbe Eliezer. That braisa is stomach Rebbe Eliezer. Tanya Yidach, another braisa, oyer beis chutin ala gas. If somebody weaves two chutin on a large beged, v'alo imro, or on the hem, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv. Rebbe Eliezer says, afilo echad. No, if it was already a beged, I mean, you're just adding on to something, all you would have to do is stitch one chut. Ubesafa, if it's the safa, it's that edge, shnei chutin, it would have to be two. Beroichiv shloish batinirim, same as in the previous braisa, the width would have to be three batinirim. Why is it enough that it's only as wide as three batinirim? I think, don't we know that on Amud Beis we're going to learn that it's a wider share? So the Gemara says the same thing it said in the previous price. If somebody would weave a small belt, he would be chayv. So here too, for that shear, you're going to be chayv. Now, what did this price stay at the beginning? It opened up with the following line. Whose shita is that? Stomach Rabbanan. Because according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you're starting, if you're just adding on to an already woven beged, you would only have to weave one stitch. So from the fact that the braisa began with a beged that's already woven and you're just adding to it, and we have a shear of two chutin, so that braisa is shitas chacham. Either way, we have a machloikis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim as it relates to the shear of oireg. According to Chachamim, it's always two chutin. Kaisev is two oisias. Oireg is always going to be two chutin. According to Blazer, it depends. Are you starting to weave a baguette, or are you adding on to an already woven baguette? If you're adding on to an already woven baguette, all you need to do is one chut. If you're starting to weave a baguette, so then the halacha would be, it would have to be three chutin. Then the Gemara brought a price, Rebbe Blazer said, two chutin. So the Gemara says, right, sometimes according to Blazer, it's three, sometimes it's two. It depends if it's big or small. Yesh darshan lignai, yesh darshan lishvach. Some had it this way, some had it that way. Then the Gemara brought two brises. One braisa seemed to be stomach kerav Eliezer, and one braisa seemed to be stomach kerav Bonan. Oisa beis batei nirim. Mishnah then described the melacha of oisa shtei batei nirim, which again is when you take the initial threads, the ones that go along the length of what it is you're weaving, and you put it through the heddle so that you can control all the strings with your contraption if you want to bring it up or down. So the process of taking two chutim and putting them through these heddles, that is in and of itself a malacha. But the Mishnah said, oisa shtei batei nirin, if you did it benirin, or bikirus, or benafa bikivru besal, you're going to be chayv. So what is nirin? My benirim, I'm rabbiya, tarti bebatei nira, v'chada benir. So Rashi explains some sort of ancient process of weaving that people used to do. But the crux of it is where you don't use the traditional heddle. But rather what the person did was he used some of the chutin to wrap around the warp threads. He attached those chutin to a rod. And by controlling the rod, moving it up and down, that's the way he was able to accomplish what he would accomplish if he was an Oysa Shtei Batinirim. The point is that if you do that, even though it's not the typical Oysa Shtei Batinirim, still you're going to be chayav. Bekirus. What does that mean? So if someone's Oysa Shtei Batinirim, Bekirus, my Bekirus, Amarab Mitsuvisas. That's something that was used, Rashi says, when the weavers would weave curtains. So that was a separate setup. That setup is also Asarat Shabbos. Vatoifer based Tfirois. If somebody sews two stitches on Shabbos, he's going to be chayiv. Zokti Gemara, Hotanin, Bavos Malachis. Don't we know that already? It was in the Mishnah Perakal Gadol. Meaning, what do we add over here? The Gemara is going back to the Mishnayis in Perakal Gadol, and it's adding. Meaning, we had the Mishnah Dafayin Gimel. Our obvious malachas have barm chasarachas. And then we just listed 39 malachas without even knowing what they are. And then Mishnah after Mishnah after Mishnah, we're explaining it. Hatoifer based tviros, we didn't add anything. So the Gemara's kash is, what did we add? Oireg, we got involved. Machlik is rebel yasin the chachamim. Oise shtei bati nirin. Benirin, bekiris, benafa, bekirva, vesal. As it relates to boina, we had a whole bunch of malachas. As it relates to koisev, we had a whole bunch of malachas. Right, some of the oitsa, forget about. I mean, there's so many halachas that we've gone through in so much detail. But toifer, we're not saying anything. Hatoifer based tfiros, isn't that the Mishnah? Freit the Gemara, Hatonin above his malachos. Hatoifer based tfiros. The Gemara subshundig by the Messi Sefer Vakere Amanaslitfer based tfiros. Being that we wanted to say in the next words, literally, that not only is toifer a malacha, but if someone's kerea, he tears Amanaslitfer. So Ktoni Nami Hatoifer Vakere. So we mentioned this as well. The Gemara says, Anami Tonino. That was also taught by Avis Malachos. Ella Zokti Gemara, Mishnah the Gabay, the Messi Sefer. It's for the next Mishnah. Mishnah we're going to learn in a moment. Hakere, Bechamase, Val Mesai. A whole bunch of halachos as it relates to someone that tears a beggar on Shabbos. That's why it mentioned also Hatoifer Shtei Tfiros. So you're right. There's no Chiddush in Hatoifer based Tfiros. There's no Chiddush in Akireya al Menaslitfer based Tfiros. The Chiddush is in the next Mishnah, and there's in fact some big time Chiddushim in the next Mishnah. But this is all a setup for what's about to come on Amid Beis. Akireya al Menaslitfer. Litvar shtei tfiros. If somebody tears a beggar on Shabbos, he's chayiv. But the Mishnah says only if he did it al menas litvar shtei tfiros. He didn't just tear. He tore with the thought that he was going to restitch it. And Gemara says, why would he do that? Why would you tear something with the intention of just sewing it back together? Doesn't make a lot of sense. Heichem mishkachas lo. The Gemara says, da'ab dekikis. No, it's talking about where the beged was originally sewed, but it wasn't sewed properly. There's pockets. It's just not perfect. So sometimes you have to take it apart to put it back together. You read it, letzarech aliyah. Kerei al menas litvar. That's what the Mishnah says is always going to also going to be an issue. Either way. So atoifer based tfirois, va'kerei al menas litvar based was all said for what? For this next Mishnah. So what's this Mishnah? Hakireya b'chamaso. If someone's really angry, it's Shabbos, he gets so mad that he tears a beged. Oval mesa, or rachmana litzlan, one of his relatives die, where he's mandated halachically, could be even midda'iraisa, to tear his beged, to rice kriya. V'chala mekalkalin, or any person that's mekalko, he does any melacha on Shabbos, but the melacha that he does is destructive in nature. The halacha is pturim, he's going to be potter. So if someone's kareya al mesoi, he's kareya b'chamasoi, or any mekalkel for that matter, says the Mishnah, he's potter. He's not going to be chaya for chil Shabbos. So mekalkel manasa sakin. Let's say someone's mekalkel and he does it with the intention of being mesakin later. Shiura k'mesakin. So if you want to know what the shear of the melacha is, how much would he have to do in order for it to be a tikkun? So if you tore enough that if you would sew it back, you'd be chayef a toifer, so then you'd be chayef. So anytime a person is mekalko, if it's amanas lesakein, you have to make sure you were mekalko enough so that when you're mesakein, it's considered a tikkun. Only then are you a mechal Shabbos. If you can't check off that box, it's not going to be chil Shabbos. Shir ha-melabin. What's the shir melabin? Melabin is whitening wool. V'ha-menapit, it's disentangling it. V'atzeveh is dyeing it. V'atoveh is spinning it. So it's k'meloi roichev hasit kafel. So the shir is, we'll see more about this in tomorrow's daf. But the shir is basically twice the distance between your second and your third finger. So what the width is, it's double that. V'oirik shnei chutin. If somebody weaves to chutin shiuroi, k'meloi hasit, the shir is going to be the same thing. That's the point. Again, we'll see more about this tomorrow, that the Gemara referenced on the bottom of Daf Kufayim and Aleph, that we were talking about the width of the beged that you're weaving. So how wide does it have to be? How wide does the stitch have to be? So in our Mishnah, the shear was kemloi Hasit on Amud Aleph. It was a different shir. Either way, Zok de Gemara. So the first line of the mission. This next Gemara is classic. Hakareh b'chamasoi. If somebody tears something on Shabbos because he was angry, or Val Mesa, he tore something on Shabbos because of a mace, or he did any other form of destructive malach on Shabbos, what's the halacha? He's going to be potter. Rimin, I'll ask you a kasha. Hakareh b'chamasoi from a brice. If somebody graces kriya on Shabbos because he's angry, uba evloi, or because he's an ovel, Val Mesa, chayiv. And even though he was Mechal Shabbos, Yotze Yedei Kriya. So you want to know if this person was Yotze Yedei Kriya? Yeah. Even though he was Mechal Shabbos, he's still going to be Yotze Yedei Kriya. So what's the kasha? You have a blatant contradiction. You have a mission that says that Kriya B'chamasai Val Mesa is Potter, and you have a brisa that says that Kriya B'chamasai Val Mesa is Chayev. So the Gemara says like kasha. Habe Mes Didei, Habe Mes Da Alma. The mission is talking about where someone heard someone died. He had no obligation to rise Kriya over this person that died, but he was very distraught. He was very disappointed. So he went ahead and he tore a baguette. That person's going to be Potter. The Bryce is talking about where he rice Kriya because he was mechuyev to rice Kriya. Or if he rice Kriya because he was mechuyev to rice Kriya, in that case, he's going to be Chayev. Says the Gemara, why? I mean, what's the Svara? What's the Svara? The Svara is because to the extent that he has an obligation to rise Kriya, so it comes out that what he's doing is not destructive, even though it is destructive, but it's really constructive. He's b'mekayim a mitzvah. Maybe even a mitzvah deraisa. It's a shail of Kriya is a deraisa. So he's doing something constructive. So if that's the case, so he's not a mekalkel. The only reason a kareya is potter is because kol ha-mekalkel in peturin. But in this case, he's really not a mekalkel. So if he's not a mekalkel, it's for that reason he's going to be chayv. But the Gemara says, how could you tell me that when the Mishnah says, he wasn't obligated to rise Kriya. But Mesoi Kitani, doesn't it say Mesoi? Sounds like it was his mace. Sounds like he had some ownership over this person. It's true, yeah, it's a relative of his, perhaps. But Ubahanuch Delav B'nei Avelis Dinu. Meaning, he didn't just hear someone died, never met this person, and decided to rise Kriya. Yeah, clearly this is someone that he knows, it's a relative of his. It's Mesoi on some level. But he doesn't have a Chiyuv. Kriya. Chiyuv Kriya is only for the Shiva Kriven. See, he's not one of the Kriven. If he's not one of the Kriven, as a result, there's no Chiyuv Kriya. Says the Gemara of Ichacham Hu Chiyuv Mechayiv. So you're telling me just because someone's not a Kriven, it means there's no Chiyuv Kriya? Maybe the person was a Chacham. It's an interesting question. Maybe he wasn't a Chacham. But the Gemara will say that. But maybe he wasn't a Chacham. And if he's a Chacham, doesn't he have a Chiyuv to rise Kriya? The time we learned to the rise of Chacham, Shemes, Hakul Kriva. If a Chacham dies, everyone becomes his family. Hakul Kriva, Solka Daitach. But all of a sudden, the whole world becomes his cousins. No, Eleema, Hakul Kit Kriva. Everybody becomes like his relative. Meaning, Hakul Kurnov, everybody's supposed to rise Kriya for him. Hakul Chaitzan Olav, everyone's supposed to expose their shoulders. One, an act of Havelos. Hakul Mavarin Olav, Berchava. Everybody gets involved in the first Suda that the Ovel eats, the Sudas Havra. But the point is that you see if he's a chassidim or a salaytzrichet, you're right. When the Mishnah says hakireya al meisay potter, it's when it wasn't his relative, and he also wasn't a chacham. Because it's true, if he was a chacham, then there'd be some obligation of kriya, and if there's an obligation of kriya, it could be it would be chay. But the Gemara says, one second, even if he's not a chacham, but what if he's an adam kasher? If he's adam kasher, chiyuv mechayvi. You're telling me that even if he's an adam kasher, he's going to be potter? No, if he's an adam kasher, he should be chay, because it's an obligation to rise kriya for an adam kasher. The time we went to the rise of name, I may say, adam kshem tanim. Why does a person rachmanu l'tzom lose his children when they're ktanim? K'deisha yifka. So the Gemara says like this, people should mourn an Adam Kasher. A child is a Kasher, he has no Averis. So if a child dies, Rachman al-Tzlan, people are going to mourn an Adam Kasher. So the Gemara says, K'deisha yifka arvuna shakli minei. What, Hashem is taking someone away, so like this people, well, it doesn't sound right. It's because this person didn't mourn an Adam Kasher. Because if someone cries over an Adam Kasher that died, it's a tremendous chus. He gets kaparas avonis. So what do you see from here? There's an idea to mourn an Adam Kasher. So if someone's kareya Adam Kasher on Shabbos, why should it be potter? So and the Mishnah says potter. The Gemara says, you're right. Let's rechal Adam Kasher. The Mishnah's talking about where he wasn't. He wasn't his relative. He wasn't a chacham, and he wasn't an Adam Kasher. But the Gemara's not finished. Let's assume that's all true. But if he was there while the person died, if he was there b'shas tzias neshama chiyuv mechayv, he should be chayv to mourn. I'm going to the brayso. If somebody's present when a mace dies, he's there b'shas tzias neshama. We're going to get back to this Gemara in the second raid bite. Chayv lekraya. So the halach is he has has an obligation to write Kriya. So even if he wasn't a Chacham, he wasn't a Kasher, it wasn't one of his relatives, but if someone's present when a Neshama departs from the world, there's an obligation to write Kriya. Holomazah Doimi, you know what this is comparable to? Let's say for Torah Shenisrafa, or say for Torah that burns, that if a Sefer Torah burns, the halacha is you have to write Kriya. So too, if someone's present, B'shas Yitzias Neshama, there's an idea of rice and Kriya. And for the Gemara, and we'll end with this, Loitzricha, the Loikoi B'shas Yitzias Neshama. You're right, it's talking about where he wasn't there, B'shas Yitzias Neshama. When the Mishnah says, HaKireya Al Mesai is Pater, it's talking about where this mace wasn't the person's relative, he wasn't an Adam Kasher, he wasn't a Chacham, and he also wasn't there, B'shas Yitzias Neshama. He heard about him, he knew him, he was Mesai, he was a relative of his, but he couldn't check off any one of these boxes. If he rices Kriya on Shabbos, he's a Makalkal, he just ruined the Beged. He wasn't Mekayim a Mitzvah, he just took something good and destroyed it. So even though Kireya is one of the Lamates Melachos, but if someone's Kireya in that way, where he's a Makalkal, he's Pater. You know why? Because there's a rule, a general rule in Hilchas Shabbos that kol hamakalkel p'tur. We'll see more about this in tomorrow's daf. But this is a rule. Just like there's something called Dovah Sheinu Mischavin, there's something called Malach Hashem Tzricha Legufa, there's something called Shnayim Sha'asu, yeah, something called Malachas Machsheves, there's something called Kalach Hayad. There are a whole bunch of intangibles that govern Hilchas Shabbos from beginning to end. One of them is kol hamakalkel p'tur. What's the source? It's a Mishnah. Mesech the Shabbos, you have to learn over 100 to get to this point, but it's kuf hey on the base of Masach Shabbos. So if someone would be Korea, he would tear a beged, and there was no good constructive outcome of what it is that he did. It was just a way of him letting out his frustration. The halacha is he won't be chayiv on Shabbos, and the reason is because kol hamikalkalin p'turim. Stating that if someone would be Korea al mesoy, where there was an obligation for him to rise Kriya, it was one of his relatives, it was an Adam Kosher, it was a Talmud Chacham, he was present B'shas Yitzias Neshama. Then the halach is, even though he just ruined the Beged, but he's going to be Chayiv. And the reason he's going to be Chayiv is because in this case, he was Kireya, not as a Mekalkel, but rather, he was Kireya as a Mesakin. So two ha'aras as it relates to today's daf. The first order is the Gemara Masechtas Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, in Perek Klal Gadol. So right when it began, the Gemara did its discussion of the Lamates Melachos. So the Gemara discussed the Melacha of Koitzer. And the Gemara said as follows, if someone is Koitzer, he cuts wood, or he cuts a plant on Shabbos, if it's Tzorich Le'etzim, and he needs the wood, such as the Mekoshesh Eitzim. So if somebody goes ahead and he's Zoymer Eitzim on Shabbos, where he needs the wood, the halach is he's Chayiv Mishum Koitzer. It's clearly implied in that Gemara that if somebody would be Koitzer Eitzim on Shabbos, but he doesn't need the wood, the halach is that he would be Potter. HaZoymer V'tzorich Le'etzim is Chayiv Mishum Koitzer. But if someone is Zoymer and he's Enoi Tzorich Le'etzim, he's not going to be Chayiv Mishum Zoymer. Says Tosfos in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, Dibra Maskel, V'tzorich Le'etzin, that it would be very tempting to say that this Gemara is going according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon holds that a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is Pater. We've seen Reb Shimon Shita so many times. Reb Shimon is of the opinion that the only time a person is Mechal Shabbos is if the Melacha that he does is exactly the way it was done in the preparation of the Mishkan. When the Yidden prepared for the Mishkan, the Melacha is what Tzricha Legufa. They did the Melacha not as a defensive move, but they did it because they wanted the positive and direct outcome of the Melacha that they're doing. Meaning, if someone is Zoymer, V'tzorich Le'etzim, so the act of Koitzer is Tzricha Legufa. He wants the thing that he just cut. But if someone's Koitzer and he's not Tzorich Le'etzim, he did it because he wants the tree to grow back a little bit better. So over there, as it relates to Koitzer, it's a Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa. So if it's a Melacha Shein Tzricha Legufa, it's for that reason it would be Pater. So Tosfos says, it's very tempting, I think, to learn that Gemara, this Braisa, that Zoymer V'tzorich Le'etzim is Chayiv only when he's Tzorich Le'etzim. I'll leave it to Rav Shimon that holds a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Leguf is Pater. But Kointra, you do that a Melacha She'ena Tzricha Leguf is Chayiv. Says Tosfos, it would seem very reasonable to assume that even if you're Enoi Tzorich Le'etzim, you're going to be Chayiv. But Tosfos says, I don't think that's the pshat. Nira, I'm quoting from Tosfos. Da'afilu l'Rav Yehuda de Mechayiv Melacha She'ena Tzricha Leguf. Even according to Rav Yehuda that holds, you're Chayiv from Melacha She'ena Tzricha Leguf, be'inan Tzorich Le'etzim. You still need Tzorich Le'etzim. And the reason is, d'loy mikri be'etzim koitzer ela be'inyan zeh. Because the only time a person's considered a koitzer, etzim, emphasis on etzim, is if it was Tzorich Le'etzim. But if you cut wood and you don't need the wood, It's not the pshat, it's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. It's not koitzer. The definition of koitzer is sarach le'etzim. Says Tosfos, that seems bizarre. Why would you say that? The only time I'm a koitzer is if I'm sarach le'etzim. The cheftza of koitzer has nothing to do with sarach le'etzim. The cheftza of koitzer is the fact that I cut wool. I just chopped a tree down. So I was koitzer. What does that have to do with being tzarech leitzim? So Tosfos says that before you get excited, meaning to have this precedence for this, you find that a koreya is only chayiv if it's al menas litfar. And a moichik is only chayiv if it's al menas lichtoiv. So says Tosfos, why should this be any different? Maybe the only time a zoymer is chayiv is if it's al menas, or it's because you want the etzim. In other words, Tosfos says you find tanoim, you find conditions in melachos. You find that the only time a person's chayiv if he tears something on Shabbos is if it's al menas litvar. Where did Tosfos get that from? The Mishnah said it. The Mishnah says akorei al menas litvar. The only time you chayiv if you erase something on Shabbos is if you did al menas lichtoiv. Had Tosfos know that the Mishnah said that? So you see that sometimes just doing the maisa in and of itself doesn't constitute the malacha. It's only if it's al menas. There has to be an end game. And the end game sometimes has to be beyond the actual malacha. So just like Korea has to be al menas litchoy, a moichik has to be al menas litchoy, says Tosfos, maybe Zoymer has to be only al menas that you're tzorich le'etzim. So Tosfos, I think Zoymer if it's tzorich le'etzim chayev is even according to Rabbi Yehuda that holds malacha she'en etzrich le'gufa is chayev. It's true. If I'm Zoymer, I don't need the etzim, it's a malacha she'en etzrich le'gufa. But and according to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm chayev for malacha she'en etzrich le'gufa. But still, you're going to be potter because the mitzius of the melacha is tzarech le'etzim, just like the metzius of kereya is amanas litvar, and the metzius of moichek is amanas lichtoiv. Freik Reb Kiva Eiger, in Gilyan Hashas, he says, this Tosfos is tzarech yid. I don't know how to read this Tosfos. Tosfos is clearly saying that the only time a person violates the melacha of kereya is if he was kereya amanas litvar. The only time a person violates the malacha of moichek is if he does it amanas lichtav. And it was based on that premise that Tosfos wants to say that maybe the only time a person is chayef for being zoymer eitzim is if he does it amanas where he's tzarech le'etzim. Said Reb Kiva Eiger, really, yeshlachger. I'm not so sure in Svara I understand Tosfos. The Mishnah says that the only time a person's chayef when he's kareya is if it's amanas litvar. The only time a person's chayef if he's moichek is amanas lichtav. Said Reb Kiva Eiger, yeshlachger. What's the pshat? Is the pshat because that's the malacha? Kareya has to be amanas litvar. And if it's not amanas litvar, you're potter. Moichik has to be amanas lichtoiv. If it's not amanas lichtoiv, you're going to be potter. Why? Kacha. That's the way it is. That's the way it was in the Mishka, maybe. This is the way it has to be. But that is what the nature of the malacha is. Oh yeah, Shlomo says Reb Kiva Eiger. Maybe the pshat's different. Maybe Kareya doesn't really have to be amanas litvar. Maybe Moichik doesn't really have to be amanas litvar. But at the same time, we know kol ha-mekalkel and peturim, that if a person does malacha on Shabbos and he acts destructively, he's a mekalkel, he's potter. So you know why kareya has to be amanas litvar? Because it has to be a constructive act. You have to have a real tayelis over here. It has to be a tikkun. But if what you're doing is not a tikkun, what you're doing is a kilkul, then memela you're going to be potter. The reason moichik has to be amanas lichtav, says Reb Kiva Eiger, maybe it's not because there's a din, a metzius, that we don't really understand, that says moichik has to be amanas. No, maybe it's simply because kol mekalkel and peturin. So if you're moichik and it's not amanas lichtoiv, it says Reb Kiva Eiger, what's the nafkamina? Nafkamina would be, what if someone tears something on Shabbos, it wasn't amanas litvar, but it was a mesakin? What if someone's moichik on Shabbos, it wasn't amanas lichtoiv, but it was a mesakin? Would you be chayiv or not? If the reason kareya has to be amanas litvar is because you just need it to be a mesakin, because otherwise it's a mekalkel, so it's a mesakin. If the reason kareya has to be amanas litvar is because that's the halacha that it has to be amanas litvar, so it could be misakin from today till tomorrow. At the end of the day, it has to be misakin. Says Reb Kiva Eiger, what's the answer to this question? If someone tears something on Shabbos, shaloy amanas litvar, but it was a misakin, yichayv anayt. It's before the Gemara. The Gemara we just learned. Hakireya bechamosoy valmeisoy pturim. Freak the Gemara stira. Hakireya bechamosoy valmeisoy chayiv. Right, so it's like, gosh, here's where it's talking about where it was your mace. Here's talking about where it wasn't your mace. If there's a chiv kri, you're going to be chayiv. Now, if someone rices kriya, it's not a manas litvar. That's not why he tore the bag in. He didn't tear it because he wants to sew a bag better. He tore it because he had a mitzvah to rice kriya. But being that it's a maisa tikkun, it's not kolam akalkal and peturim. It's for that reason it's going to be chayiv. So Zokrab Kiveger, it's a mefurish gemara. Shabbos kofei amid beis. What do you see in that mefurish gemara? You see clearly that the idea of why kireya has to be a manas litvar, and for that from that standpoint, probably the reason Moichik has to be Amanas Lichtav is simply so it should come out of the category of Mekalkel, because otherwise, Kala Mekalkel number two. But there's no din that it has to be. So if that's the case, Vazak Toysvis, if someone's Zoymev Vitzorich Leitzin, where he's not being Mekalkel, he's doing it for some constructive reason. He's not talking about Mekalkel over there. Why should he have to be Amanas? Why should he have to need the Eitzin? Melacha shein tzricha leguf according to Rabbi Yehuda is not an issue. Taisvah says you find certain melachas with the chefts of the melachas amanas. Which melacha has to be amanas? Oh, because korei is amanas litvar. Korei amanas litvar doesn't mean there's a din. It has to be amanas litvar. Korei amanas litvar just means it has to be a mesakin. But if you would be mesakin al yedei kriya where it wasn't amanas litvar, you'd also be chayiv. So if you're zaymer, you ain't tzarich leitzim. Why in the world shouldn't you be chayiv? That's what Kivegas Kash on Taisvah. He says Taisvah and Shabbos ayin gimel amid beis seems to be kinegan. I'll tell you a teretz. We'll go through this briefly. That I saw in the Sefer Heyer Yosef from Yosef Lawrence, based on a tshuva from the Ramah, which actually intersects with some interesting halacha l'maisa. The Ramah in a tshuva, it's tshuva kuf yutes, was asked the following question. There were certain books that had letters or words written on the sides of the pages, or on the top of the pages, a library book. And the question that was asked to Ramo was, are you allowed to open a book like that on Shabbos? Are you allowed to close a book like that on Shabbos? What's the shaila? The shaila is when you open up the book, you're being moichik. You have words, it says Brooklyn Public Library, and now that you opened it up, it doesn't say anything. When you close the book, you put it back together, you're writing again. So the shaila was asked to the Ramo, maybe opening the book should be moichik. Maybe closing the book should be kaisef. So the Ramah goes through, it's actually very interesting because he goes through a lot of the Gemaras that we learned through recently. We just learned the Gemaras that relate to kaisefs. If you want a nice sikum, very clear from the Ramah. It's simin kuf yotes. He goes through some of the Gemaras. We obviously can't go through this right now. But says the Ramah that my first reaction was a few things. Number one, maybe you should be pater because the ksiva is not going to have a kiyum. The only time you chayev for koisev is if it has a kiyum. We learned the Mishnah yesterday's daf very quickly that said if somebody would write with mei peiros, for example, he wouldn't be chayev. The reason he wouldn't be chayev is because it's not a davar hameskayim. The only time you chayev for koisev is if it's a davar hameskayim. Here, the koisev, the moichik, nothing is really a davar hameskayim. Says the Ramah, it's true, it's not a davar hameskayim. And it's true that if somebody writes in a way on Shabbos that's not meskayim, he's pater. But what does pater always mean in Hilcha Shabbos? Pater avalasa. It's still going to be awesome at the Rabbanon. So I can't be mater. You're right, no chatos. But you're not bringing a chatas anyways. So as it relates to being mutter, it says the Ramah, that's not a reason for it to be mutter. Maybe it's a dover shein mischaven. You intend to be koisev and moichik. Says the Ramah, it's true, it's a dover shein mischaven, but at the same time, it's a psikresha. It's inevitable it's going to happen. So if it's a psikresha, my dear Rav Shimon be psikresha. It's a melacha shein tzricha legufa. We pass on like Rav Shimon by melacha shein tzricha legufa. Says the Ramah, first of all, it's debatable, ayin sham, whether it's a melacha shein tzricha legufa. But besides, in the best case scenario, melacha shein tzricha legufa is potter. Dava shein mischaven is mutter. Melacha shein tzricha legufa is only potter. What's the difference? Mutter means it's lechatchila. You can do it with the ganze ganzkeit. Whereas potter means potter. So the Ramah says at the end of the day, it's true, it has alach esroinus, but at the same time, I think it should be aser midrabanan. I think it should be aser midrabanan, says the Ramah. And the truth is, I think I have a raya to this. I think I have a raya to the fact that it should be aser. From something very similar, he brings from the Mardchai, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, who brought from the Maram in Rutenberg, who discussed the case where people had cakes. And on the cakes, they would engrave words. And the question, are you allowed to eat a cake like that on Shabbos? If you have food and there's words embedded inside the food, are you allowed to eat that food? You're being moichik. So if you're being moichik, maybe that's something that you're not allowed to do. A more specific question that the Mardchai talked about was that once upon a time, people, when they baked matzahs for the Leil HaSeder, so inside the three matzahs that they used at the beginning of the Seder, one would have an aleph, one would have a beis, and what would have a gimel? Yesterday's daf. Aleph, beis, gimel. So you would have an aleph, a beis, and a gimel in the three matzahs that were used. And there was a big tumult in the Mordechai if you're allowed to use matzahs like this on Shabbos, because you're breaking the aleph, beis, gimel. It's not so simple that this is something that you'd be allowed to do. So says the Ramah, l'chayra v'haloi davaru. I think it's a kal v'chayra. He says, madlich when it comes to words that are embedded inside a cake, inside a matzah. Madlich over there. That loch is, you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. Why did the Rishonim say inality on Shabbos? Because it's moichek. Kal v'chomer, when it comes to my case, it certainly should be aser. What's the kal v'chomer? Says the Ramah, because in that case, when you moichek food, when you eat the matzah, is that moichek amanas lichtov? You have no intention of putting it back together. And still, okay, midrabanan maybe, that lochus is going to be aser. Over here, it's meichik amanas lichtoif. Because when you open it up, eventually you're going to put it back together. So when is it meichik? When you open the book. When is it kaisiv? When you put it back together. So this is meichik amanas lichtoif. So this is what the Rama said. He said, I think it's a kalachem. He says, madach over there, it's meichik, shaloy amanas lichtoif, and still with the cake. Similar case, cake, book, right? Same difference. Meichik, kaisiv. So madach over there, where it's shaloy amanas lichtoif. All the Rishonim said it's a problem. It's brought down a Shulchan Aruch. So Kavu Chaimah, when it comes to over here, where it's Meichel Kamanas Lichtoy, so certainly over here, it's going to be an issue. Lemaisa, the Ramah ended up saying that it's Mutter. At the end of the truth, after all this, he says it's Mutter. And the reason he said it's Mutter is it's not for us for now, but he said the reason it's Mutter is because Kaisev is when you create. Is when you create the Oisius. But if you don't create the Oisius, it's not Koisev. So Koisev, if you take two letters and you just bring them together, it's not Koisev. Koisev is you create the letter. You write the letter. Or you magia the letter. But if you take a letter from here and a letter from here and you just mekarev them, it's not going to be Koisev. He brings a few rayas. One of the rayas, Ramah brings a very geshmaka raya. Where was Meichik in the Mishkan? Where was Meichik in the Melech HaMishkan? So Rashi says, you know what Meichik Melech HaMishkan was? Rashi in Perek Gadol says, because sometimes they would write the letters on the Krashim, we saw that in yesterday's app, and they would make a mistake occasionally. And Pamim Shata, and when they made a mistake, they would have to be Meichik. Freik Drama, why did Rashi have to say that Meichik was, they would erase it? Maybe they never made a mistake. Kayanim's reason, hey, this was Meleches Machsheves. Who said they made a mistake? Maybe the Meichik was when they took the Krashim and they separated them. So the Ramah, Vaistai, separating letters is not Meichik. And putting letters together is not Kaisiv. And that's why Rashi had to come on to the fact that maybe they made a mistake. But the bottom line is, that's the Ramah. So the Heir Yosef asked the Bumbakash. It's a subtle lumdus, but it's a Bumbakash. He says, I don't understand the Ramah. The Ramah Pask, initially, his Muscho Rishoyin, when he approached this Tshuva was, and I think it should be Aser. What was his initial? He stalled through the Aleph Beis Gimel Matzahs of the Leila. He says, Madach over there, it's a problem. Certainly here. What's the Kabbal Chaimer? There it's Moichik and it's not Amanas Lichtoiv. Here it's Moichik and it is Amanas Lichtoiv. Why is this Moichik Amanas Lichtoiv? Freak Rabbi Yosef Lawrence. What? How do you understand Moichik Amanas Lichtoiv? Moichik Amanas Lichtoiv is you have something that you wrote that's a mistake, so you're erasing it so that you can now write the proper thing. That's usually the way you think of what's a Kare Amanas Lichtoiv. You sewed something, wasn't sewed properly, so you're ripping it so that you can make it better. So your kriya is, your yurida was letzayr chaliyah. Your kriya is a tfira. Your mechik is a ksiva. Like, that's usually the way you understand it. Meaning the mechik is facilitating the kosev. The kriya is facilitating the tefer. This mechik is a menas lichtoy. What? Oh, because I opened the book, so now that somehow allows me to make a geshmak, a kosev over here that I'm trying to do? That's not really what's happening. What's happening over here is I was moichek knowing that I'm going to be kosev. But was it almenas lichtoiv in the sense that it's facilitating a kosev? It's making the world a better place now that I was moichek because, oh, now I'll be able to be kosev later? What's the constructive component of the moichek because I did it almenas lichtoiv? So said Rabbi Yosef Lawrence, could be you see in this Ramah alumnus, it could be you see that he had a different understanding of Amanas. Amanas doesn't mean where I'm making something, I'm taking one step back so I can take two steps forward. But anytime I'm moichek, knowing that later I'm going to be koisev on top of what I was moichek, anytime I'm kireya, knowing I'm going to be toifer, that's enough for it to be considered Amanas. He said, if that's the case, it could be that's the territory of Kivega's kasha. Rav Kivega assumed for a dover pashut that if someone's kireya al mesai, he's not a kireya Amanas litvar. What was his assumption based on? He wasn't kireya to be toifer. He was kireya because he had a chiv. He had a chiv to rice kriya. He says, once upon a time, today if an oval rices kriya, he's never going to use that beggar again. But once upon a time, there was poverty. And once upon a time, they used to use the beggar again. It's mutter to use the beggar. And that's what they almost always used to do. So the assumption is that if someone's kireya b'chamasai, if someone's kireya al-mesa, he's probably going to sew it back together. Now, he wasn't kireya al-menas. He didn't do it with the intention of, oh, I'm going to rip this beggar so I can make it better. He ripped the beggar because he had an obligation to rip the beggar because he was chayiv to rise kriya. But at the same time, it's ganz mistaber. You have no right to say otherwise that this person has no intention of re-sewing the beggar. And to the extent that he's going to re-sew the beggar, which once upon a time is what almost always happened, then it is Amanas Litvar. Why are you assuming Kareya Al-Mesa is not Amanas Litvar? Because you're assuming that the definition of Amanas Litvar means the intention, the kavana, the purpose, purpose, the tachlis of the kriya was amanas litvar. That's all true, if that's what it means. But if in the Ramah, and he brings it from the Levush as well, a little bit more mafurish than the Ramah, that you see this idea that amanas litvar doesn't have to be that it's a yurida l'tzorich aliyah per se. But as long as after your kareya, you're going to be toifer. As long as after your meichik, you're going to be kaisiv. You open the book, you a meichik, you're going to close it eventually. You're going to be kaisiv. Even though it's not one step backwards, so that you can take two steps forward. It's one step backwards and then one step forward. But that's enough for it to be considered amanas. And if that's enough for it to be considered amanas, if that's the case, Tosfos is not mufrach from our Gemara, and that would be a teretz for Kivegas Kasha. That's the first aura. The second aura is the Gemara said that if somebody's present, b'shas yitzias neshama, when somebody dies, the halach is he has to rise kriya. Halomazah doyma, what is this comparable to? The sefer Torah shenisrafa. This is comparable to a sefer Torah that was burned. What does that mean? What that means is that if somebody's present when a sefer Torah burns, he has to rise kriya. So if somebody's present when a sefer Torah burns, the halacha is that he has to rise kriya. So too the halacha should be that if somebody is present b'shas yitzias neshama, he would have to rise kriya as well. Now the makar to this idea that if somebody's present at the time that a sefer Torah burns, he has to rise kriya is a gemara. The Gemara says, Sefer Torah shenisra minal. How do you know that if somebody sees a Sefer Torah burn, he has to rise kriya? The Chziv. It's learned out from Psukim that deal very much with the Churban. The context over there was that Yirmiyo HaNavi wrote the Book of Lamentations. He wrote the Book of Echa. He wrote it as a prophecy before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. When you read Eicha, it sounds like Yirmiyo is witnessing the Churban and he wrote Sefer Eicha. But that's not really what happened. Yirmiyo wrote Eicha as a prophecy and he sent it to the Melech Yisrael at the time. He sent it to King Yehoyakim. And people came and they read it in front of Yehoyakim. And he, Amar Lohu, it's a very long Gemara. He said, Maksibbe, what does it say in this book of Eicha? So they told him, Eicha Yashva Bada. Those are the opening words. Amar Lohu. He said, I'm not Malka. He says, what? I'm going to Galus, Eichva Yashva Badad. Who do you see here that's Yashva Badad? So he said, tell me, what else does it say? Amrele, they told him, it says, Bachay Sifke Balaylo. He said, I'm a Malka, I'm a king, nothing's going to happen to me. Gol Si Yehuda Miyoini, Darke Tzir Naveilois, Hayut Sarel Eroish, Ki Hashem Hoygal Roiv Pishael. Either way, Yoyakim at some point got so frustrated, he was so fed up with what he was listening to. So he took the book of Eicha. Miyad Kader Kol Askari Shabbat. He tore out all the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tesar from Be'esh, and he threw it in the fire. And the pasuk says that all the Yidden that were there, they just watched. V'loy Pachadu, they weren't afraid. V'loy Karu As Bigdeim, and they didn't tear their begadim. Says the Gemara, what do you see from here? That really they were supposed to tear their begadim. Why? Because the Askaris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were burnt. Michlal Debo the Mikra. So we learn from here that anytime a person witnesses, Rachman al Islam, a Sefer Torah destroyed, the halach is he has an obligation to rise kriya. The Gemara goes on and the Gemara continues and tells a story. The Gemara says, Rab Abba, Rav Huna Bar Chiya have a yasfi. Rab Abba, Rav Huna Bar Chiya, they were once sitting together. Come, Rab Abba, boy left nur. Rabba got up, he wanted to go to the bathroom. Shakli l'tay tefta achse abe sadio. He took his tefillin off and he put them down. Asoy bas na miso, an ostrich came. Boy lemivle. And the ostrich wanted to eat the tefillin. Omar. So Rab Abba commented, he said, it's a good thing this didn't happen. Because hashti chayvili shtei kriyas, we would have had a rice kriya. If my tefillin would have been eaten up by an ostrich, I certainly would have had a rice kriya. So the Gemara says that Amalei, so Rav Huna Bar Chiya told Rav Abba, it's not true. Because Hachi Amar Shmuel, tell you what Shmuel said. Lo Yomru, the only time a person has to rise kriya, if a tefillin or if Eicha or if a Torah gets burnt, is Ela Bizroya. It's only if it happens Bizroya. It has to be parallel. It has to be somewhat similar to the events that took place right here. But if it's not similar to what happened with Yoyakim burning Eicha, in that case, the halacha is, you wouldn't have to rise kriya. There's a fascinating tshuva in Shailos of Tshuva's Chacham Tzvi. It's in Shailo Yud Zayin. The shoyl in the tshuva was Rabbi Yaakov Reisha, also known as the Shfus Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov Reisha was the Rav in Prague. He lived in the latter part of the 17th century, the earlier part of the 18th century, which is the same time that the Chacham Tzvi lived. And Rabbi Yaakov Reisha sent the following shaila to the Chacham Tzvi. The backdrop of the shaila was there was a terrible sreifa, there was a terrible fire that burnt through the city of Prague. And the Jewish quarters were completely destroyed. It was a terrible, terrible Churban. People lost their personal properties. The shuls were destroyed. Sifrei Torah were burned. Tefillin, it was a terrible, terrible Churban. And one of the questions that came up immediately was, the Jews of Prague that witnessed this terrible Sreifa, did they have an obligation to Reis Kriya? I mean, at first glance, it's a Mefurish Gemara. And that was the question. The question was, did they have an obligation to Reis Kriya? Or did they not have an obligation to Reis Kriya? So the Rav of Prague, Rabbi Yaakov Reisha, the Shvus Yaakov, sat down and he wrote a tshuva. And he writes that he didn't have any svarim when he sat down to write this tshuva. His lashon is, v'kashakara l'nafshi mikri bilti tahar, ba'iski l'hatzal asvarim svivai ochlo esh. He says, I had nothing. I lost all my kisveyad. I lost all my svarim. I had nothing. So I sat down without svarim. I sat down without svarim and I tried my best to write a tshuva. And he sat down and he wrote a tshuva, and the crux of his psak was that he felt that, yeah, absolutely, they have an obligation to Reis Kriya. Now, why was it not so simple? When it was a Sefer Torah in Israel, if it's a Sefer Torah in Israel, of course there should be a Chi of Kriya. It was based on the last Gemara we just learned. Because what did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, Shmuel said, the only time you Reis Kriya is if it's Kemaisa Shahaya. It has to be similar to what happened with Yoyakum. And what happened by Yoyakum? Lo Yomru Ela Bezraya U Kemaisa Shahaya. It was done Bezraya, it was done forcefully. Someone took the Sefer Torah and threw it into a fire, and it was Kemai Seshahaya. That's not what happened. It was a fire. It was an accident. Nobody went. There weren't vandals that took the Sefer Torah, but rather this was something that just happened. It was a fire that Nebuch burned through Sefer Torah. So Rabbi Yaakov Reish's Muschel Risha was that maybe in this case you shouldn't be Chayev. But he says it can't be that way. He says, I know it can't be that way. He says, you know why? He said, because there's another Gemara that mentions the Chi of Kriya for a Sefer Torah and Nisraf, and that's Gemara Masechta Shabbos Daf Kufei Amid Beis. But the Gemara says, if someone's present, b'shas yitzias neshama, if someone's in the room when a person dies, see, as a chiyuv to Reis Kriya, and why? What's the makar to that? It's like a sefer Torah in Nisraf. He says, what shaychis? Sefer Torah in Nisraf is only bezraya u'kamaisa shahaya. It's so specific when that's the halacha. So why should this be true over here? This was from Yaakov Reish's kasha. See, he says, I think Rashi answered the kasha. Because if you look at Rashi in Masechtas Mo'ikon, on that Gemara, Perikel Magalchim, Rashi says, Bezraya she'ini yochel atziloi. It means what you can't save it. That's what Bezraya means. It means she'ini yochel atziloi. You're in a situation where you can't save it. Why Rashi say that's what Bezraya means? What's the conventional type of Bezraya? Strength, Bezraya netuya. That's the way we left Mitzrayim. Right? Someone came with big muscles and this is what he did. That's the way you would understand usually Bezraya. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi she'ini yochel atziloi. He says, you know why I think Rashi learned that way? Because Rashi knew this Gemara in Shabbos Kofei Amid Beis, and he knew that it's not true. It doesn't have to be Bezraya. Because if it had to be Bezraya, then what shaykh is to a Nitzias Neshama? How can you learn Nitzias Neshama from a Sefer Torah and Israel? That's only Bezraya. This is not Bezraya. Person Nebuch dies because he just died. The Malach HaMavis killed him. What does it have to do with Bezraya? So that's why Rashi knew Zraya probably means something else. He means Eliyahu Latzil. So either way, Rabbi Yaakov Reisha sat down, he told the Olam of Prague, you should rise Kriya. But then he sent the Shiloh to the Chacham Tzvi. He sent the Shiloh to Hamburg, and he sent it to the Chacham Tzvi, and he said, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu. And it's beautiful the way he tells him in the beginning what went on, and Nebuch, the personal suffering that he has as a result of this. He said he lost everything. He lost mamish everything. He writes later, he says, the only Svarim I have access to, right? Mamish, think about it, the whole Prague. He says, the only Svarim that he has access to right now is he has a Shas and an Ein Yaakov. It's actually interesting because Rabbi Yaakov Reisha wrote a pirush on the Ein Yaakov. The Iyun Yaakov. It's a classic commentary on the Ein Yaakov. I don't know if this is the rest of the story. But either way, see, he said the only thing he has right now is he has a Shas and he has an Ein Yaakov. That's why he learned Ein Yaakov. I'm not sure. He says he has a Shas and he has an Ein. See, he sent the Shiloh to the Chacham Tzvi, and the Chacham Tzvi told him, after giving him Chizuk, he said that I disagree with your psak. I don't think it's true. He said, I don't think it's true. I don't think you're supposed to write Kriya. And he said two things. He said, first of all, Rashi's a very big Chiddush. Rashi's a Das Yochid. Pashat Zroya means literally Bezraya. And if it means literally Bezraya, then it's the only time to say the Torah and Israel rice Kriya is if it was Bezraya. But if it wasn't Bezraya, then the Loch is you're not going to have a Chiyuv to rice Kriya. And he says, I, the Gemara, the Shvus Yaakov's Kasha from the Gemara and Shabbos, Secham Tzvi deals with it. But he says, besides, there's another very important point. The only time you have a Chiyuv to rice Kriya for a Sefer Torah is if you saw the Sefer Torah burn. But if someone didn't see the Sefer Torah burn, he's not chayiv. And says the Chacham Tzvi that even though there were smokestacks and they knew what was going on and they saw it from a distance, but they didn't see the Sefer Torah burn. They didn't see the Oisius Parchas Ba'aver. They didn't physically see it. And if they didn't physically see it, said the Chacham Tzvi, the halacha is they wouldn't be chayiv. You wouldn't be chayiv. It's interesting. The Shvus Yaakov ended up writing a tshuva about this story in the Shvus Yaakov, and in his tshuva in Shvus Yaakov, it's in Chelek Aleph.
Chav Simon Pei Dalet, he writes that initially he felt, when he didn't have his svarim with him, he thought that really the right thing to do was to rice kriya, and he says he sent the shiloh to the Chacham Tzvi, and the Chacham Tzvi told him not to, and he says now that he was ma'ayin in his svarim, he realizes that the right thing was not to, and the bottom line is that was the psak not to rice kriya. Now it's interesting, this tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi, like so many of the Chacham Tzvi's tshuvas, really set a precedent for a lot of tshuvas that would be written by Gedolei Yisrael over the ensuing hundreds of years, as it related to stories like this, where there was Sifrei Torah and Nisraf. And unfortunately, these are things that happen, and the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva was always quoted as the landmark tshuva, where the Chacham Tzvi paskin that the only time there's a chi of kriya is number one if it was bizrayah kemaisa shahaya, like the literal words of the Gemara. It's also the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. If it's not literally like that, then you wouldn't be chayav. Not the way Rashi understood, and the way that Shlosh Yaakov wanted to understand what bizrayah is, and also only if somebody witnessed it. One of the shailas that came up a lot is what happens if somebody drops a Sefer Torah? If somebody's in a shul and a Sefer Torah falls. So the Minhag Yisrael is that people fast. One day, Tainus Bahab, Pidyoin, there's different Minhagim and Klai Yisrael. And it's really based on tshuvas. There's a tshuva from the Divrei Chaim, there's a tshuva in Chaim Shal from the Chidah, and they all quoted this Chacham Tzvi. It all starts with this Chacham Tzvi. Incidentally, as it relates to fasting on a Sefer Torah that drops, that's all based on Minhag. Maybe I'll pick a Bala, but it has nothing to do with Nigla. In Nigla, there's no Makar. In Nigla, there's a Makar for Sefer Torah and Nisra, but not if it drops, only if it's Bezroya, like the Chacham Tzvi said. And not just that, only people that witnessed it. If somebody wasn't in shul at that time, or if he didn't see it happen, then for sure he would have no obligation. But again, like so many tshuvas, the tshuvas Chacham Tzvi, this is something that's set the stage. Just to end quickly with one tshuva that I think is worth mentioning, and this is from the Shailos Tshuvas Mima Makim. So who is the author of Shailos Tshuvas Mima Makim? This is Rabbi Ephraim Oshri. And Rabbi Ephraim Oshri lived in Kovna. He was in the Kovna ghetto. He was very, very young when the war broke out. He was literally in his late 20s or early 30s. He was very close to the Kovner Rav, the Dvar Avram, who was killed in the Warsaw ghetto, Hashem Yimkom Damai. And he wrote and started chronicling different stories that happened. And he wrote tshuvas. There were questions that were sent to the Kovner Bezdin. And he wrote tshuvas. And then after the war, over years, he printed many volumes of Shailos Tshuvas Mima Makim. In the first volume of Mima Makim, the first seven. So this is chapter 1, verse 1. The very first tshuva in Shailos Tshuvas Mima Makim, he discusses the following story. He says it was Dalet Elul Tofshin Aleph, 1941. Asu HaGarmanim Tzayed Al Chayes Meshoytetais. So what did the Germans do? I mean, what was their rishus? They took a bunch of wild animals and they let them loose inside a shul. And what they wanted to do is they just wanted the shul to be destroyed. This is something that happened in the Naya Klois in Slabotka. This is where the story happened. So the Jews were rounded up into the shul. They witnessed this. The Jews weren't killed, but they had to witness this. They just had to see these animals take animals into a shul and just destroy everything, just vandalize everything. This is what they did. But he says, unfortunately, they weren't happy with enough. Olam daitem shel hazedim arur yamach shemam leinuskar rabazeh. Shechilu as hakodesh v'hafchu makom toru v'tfila lebeis mitbechayim shel klove v'chasulim. This wasn't enough for them. What did they do? They told Yidin that what you need to do is you have to start taking Sifrei Torah, you have to start burning the Sifrei Torah or ripping it up. They forced the Jews to do it. They didn't have no choice. What were they supposed to do? So they had no choice, and Yidden literally took the Sifrei Torah that they would kiss and that they would hug and so lovingly and that they would sing Susha Arim to, and they started ripping up all these Sifrei Torah. Either way, after this happened, you can imagine how distraught the community was. I mean, this was still the beginning of the war. They didn't realize where this was all going to end, unfortunately. But still, this was something that they didn't know what to do. They wanted to do tshuva. What are you supposed to do? They sent the Shiloh to the Kovner Rav, the Dvar Avram. So Rav Ashri writes, the Kovner Rav was very old at the time. He was shvach. He couldn't really handle the Shiloh. So he asked him to look into it, to write a tshuva, and then he's gonna look through it. So he went through the Inyan, and the first thing he goes to is to the Chacham Tzvi. Rav Ashri quoted the Chacham Tzvi. This is it's not a Sefer Torah Shenisraf. It was a Sefer Torah Shenigra. There were people that did, the people that witnessed it. The bottom line is he came out that Mi'ikra Adin, there was really no obligation to do anything. But at the same time, being that something really terrible happened, so at Kamuvin, this is something, it's an understanding that maybe this is something that the Yidden should do tshuva for. But either way, unfortunately, this is something that happened many, many times. And when it came to Halacha L'maisa, Achi of Kriya, Achi of Abelos, so the psak, the Messiah is the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva, that the only time there's a chiyuv is if it's Bizraya, and if it's Kemaisa Shahaya, it's just to end on a more positive note. So Rabbi Akiva, we just started Perek Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer's Talmud Muvik is, of course, Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva's lasting words to us are what Rabbi Akiva's chaverim told Rabbi Akiva, Akiva nichamtanu. What was the context? The context was it was shualim hilchuba. Right? It was shualim hilchuba. They saw foxes go through the kodesh hakodashim, and Rabbi Akiva was besimcha. Why was he besimcha? He was besimcha because he saw this. He said, if the bad nevuah of shualim hilchuba, if this terrible nevuah happened, then the good nevuah of tzion, if tzion kisodet techarish, tzion's going to be plowed one day. He's going to be plowed like a field. Then all the goyish was kedem as kedem, but chayvus yishalayim are also going to happen. I saw recently that the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, he said, Tzion Mesodah Techarish. We're learning the Malachas of Shabbos now. Chayrish is destructive, right? It's Mekalkal Chayrish. But even though it's destructive, it's a Menas L'Sakin. See, he said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, that's the Tifkai. He said, what was the worst Nevuah? What was the worst Nevuah? Tzion, what's going to happen to Tzion? It's going to be plowed. You know what happens after you plow? Things grow. Yeshua's come. That's what happens. Matzmiach Yeshuas. That's what happens when you plow. So the Rabbi Shabbos, that's the tifkeit and Akiva Nichamtanu. That's the silver lining in that klala. But either way, Rav Ashri started his epic, his magnum opus, his Shailos HaTshuvas Mimba Makim with a story of klovim v'chasulim v'osfu oysel lebeis medrash achadosh. And it was literally shualim hilchubay v'shibizoycha ta'id yeshvu skenem u'skenem 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 u